experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, we're back in the studio and we're live. You know, I took off last week for a variety of reasons. The holiday was upon us, and also we migrated to the new server. So those of you who are having trouble getting to the website and downloading shows, that should all be over now. We actually are on our own server, just the show, and we are very happy that that has been completed. Today's show is important. It's something that I've talked about on and off throughout the past couple of years. And it really is an epidemic now. Addiction. Addiction is an epidemic. We don't think about addiction quite often in our day-to-day life, that some of the things that we're doing, we always think of the junkie on the corner who's nodding off as, you know, being addicted to heroin. But addiction is anything that you do that you know is having a negative effect on you, but yet you continue to do it because you feel the need to do it, and the need to do it is greater than the negative effect that it's having on you. My guest today is Pam Colleen. How you doing, Pam?
I'm great, Carl. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. And you have just written a book called Addiction, The Hidden Epidemic. And first of all, what prompted you to even do this?
Well, I had a couple of reasons why I decided to write the book, and one had to do with the fact that one of the doctors I interview in the book, she's a medical doctor, I saw her speaking a couple of times, actually, and she said very clearly to the audience that we're turning our children into addicts. And that, you know, sent a huge red flag out to me and said, oh boy, somebody's got to do something about that, because I know that she's right. You know, just look at the kids today. You know, they're lining up for coffee, they're addicted to carbohydrates. In many cases, you know, 10% of them today could be diagnosed with a mental disorder, and because of the diagnosis could be taken.
Isn't that shocking? Isn't it shocking, yeah, the number of children that are on antidepressants and anxiolytics today?
Oh, even antipsychotics. I mean, and they shouldn't be, because they're not necessarily even approved by the FDA. And so, you know, the drug companies have gotten into a lot of trouble for putting these kids on some pretty strong drugs.
But just think of it from the drug, the big pharma standpoint. Okay, if we can get you on a drug when you're 14 and you take it until you're 80, wowee, wow, wow, look at the money we can make.
Well, and that's exactly it. They want cradle-to-grave customers, and that's essentially what they're developing with children. And I always say, you know, it starts with big food, and big food creates clients for big pharma, and essentially that's what's going on. People are being, you know, in the belief system that if you have a mood disorder, you take a drug for it. And, you know, really everything from, you know, depression or whether it's ADHD, you know, these are not pharmaceutical drug deficiencies. These are clearly nutritional deficiencies and toxicities.
Right.
And you really have to go to the proper health practitioners who use the proper labs who can actually identify these deficiencies and toxicities, because it's not, you know, Carl, our, you know, blueprint is supposed to be perfect. I mean, after years and years and years of evolving, how is it that we have messed up this blueprint so much that people are so miserable today and so sick today? This is not the way things are supposed to be.
Well, you know what I love? You know, I keep talking about practicing health history. You know, we abandon everything we learned yesterday for what we know today, because we believe that what we know today somehow supersedes what we learned yesterday. And that's a very dangerous process, because when you abandon what you learned yesterday, you are doomed to repeat it.
Yes.
And to all of those people out there who can't get this through their thick skull, that it is the food that is killing us, that's destroying us, that's making us ill, that's contributing to the mental deficiencies today. You just have to look back 3 or 4 generations. They didn't have these problems back then. I mean, they had other problems. Don't get me wrong. They had problems related to
infectious disease. Really the main problem.
Because people started figuring out, hey, after I wipe, I should wash my hands before I grab that piece of food. And now, you know, we got that worked out. Now it's like, oh my God, We are dying for a totally different reason, and this is just as avoidable as washing your hands was to infectious disease.
Some people can say we're spiritually and emotionally, you know, dead today. And so many people are walking around feeling spiritually and emotionally wounded. They're not running on all cylinders. You know, they have brain fog. They can't sleep at night. They wake up exhausted, so they didn't have a restorative sleep. You know, and they're in a bad mood, and this is not the way we're supposed to be. You know, we're supposed to wake up energized in the morning, looking forward to the day. We're supposed to be positive and upbeat and productive in our lives. And unfortunately, you know, when the cells are not being nourished as properly as they should be, you know, the system, you may be lucky to be running on 5 out of 10 cylinders, you know, if you're
what is the human condition that is so prone to wanting to feel things working? I said this years ago, that any supplement you come out with today, if you just add caffeine to it, it'll be successful because people will go, oh, I can feel it working. I have a feeling that it's working. What is it about us that we're attracted to that, like moths to a flame?
Well, you know, since the dawn of civilization, man has been drawn to mood-altering substances. It doesn't matter if it's a plant or a mushroom, you know, a mushroom of some sort. You know, man has been drawn to these substances. But something is very different today in that, you know, there's been a lot of refining of the substance. The chemical ingredient that is the mood-altering ingredient in some of these plants has been, you know, amplified over the last 150 years through chemistry. And we are just more prone to developing addictions to these very, very strong agents. And that's just one component of addiction. This is the substances that are out there. You know, there's other problems with addiction today, and that has to do with something called process addictions, which are things like, you know, gambling and such. So, you know, right now what we have, of course, is you mentioned caffeine, and you know, about 80 or even 90% of the population today is consuming caffeine potentially on a daily basis. So it's really one of our more pervasive drugs, even though it's a legal
drug.
And
in really, really large quantities. When you look at the number of commercials for things like 5-Hour Energy and Monster Drink and all of these highly caffeinated, highly stimulating drinks, and I ask myself, but why the hell are people so exhausted that they need to turn to this? What they need to look at is what they're doing wrong that's making them feel so exhausted, not turn to a stimulant.
Exactly. That's exactly the reason why, you know, I wrote this book, is because we should be feeling energized and we should be feeling happy naturally and not have to turn towards a stimulant like, you know, caffeine or something worse like cocaine. You know, so how do you get your biochemistry intact so that you can feel these emotions naturally? And a lot of that has to do with, of course, your having balanced blood sugar levels, you know, having proper levels of certain nutrients that come from very key foods that support your nervous system, you know, and basically just, you know, surrounding yourself with that sense of balance that our ancestors knew through generations. They knew to eat 3 square meals a day. They were not afraid of animal fats. You know, they knew how to balance their biochemistry just through wisdom. And today, we've been fed a bill, you know, a bill of goods. We've been fed a bunch of lies about nutrition, and we're also so busy that we're skipping meals or waiting too long in between meals. So we're really disrupting our biochemistry.
I think it's a shame that there is any medical curriculum out there that does not have an equal number of classes in nutrition. It just goes to show that either A, the medical orthodoxy has joined forces with Big Pharma to sacrifice people in the name of profits, or that they are completely ignorant. And neither one of those is good. I mean, Hippocrates said, "Let food be thy medicine." We've done shows about people who have cured themselves just by changing their diets. Mm-hmm. And yet doctors, when you say to a doctor, "Well, before I take this blood pressure medicine, I'd like to change my diet." "Oh, I don't know anything about that." It's like, are you joking?
Well, you know, I have a really interesting interview in my book with a medical doctor from Harvard who has turned into an activist, and he's saying enough is enough. We've got to stop writing prescriptions for these drugs because they're only causing more problems. I absolutely adore this man and really truly is an activist, and one of these days you really ought to have him on your show, because he's just saying at a grassroots level, you know, we need to talk to our neighbors, we need to talk to our cousins, whomever, and just tell them, warn them about the dangers of these pharmaceutical drugs. And one of the most pervasive addictions that's developing today is the addiction to these pharmaceutical drugs. Number one, you know, they're not necessarily working at all.
I know.
And number two, the side effects can be fatal.
Isn't it funny? There's a commercial out there, and we have to go into a break. When we come back, we're going to pick up more. But I just wanted to mention, there's a commercial out there that blatantly says 2 out of 3 people, you know, have no success with their antidepressant. That's why you should be taking this on top of your antidepressant. It's like 2 out of 3 people get no benefits from their antidepressants. That's a failure. That means
it
the
is.
Drug
it's a
failed.
Total failure. And in fact, when we get back from the break, I'll talk more about that and what's happening in England because of that issue.
Okay. We're talking today with Pam Colleen. We're talking about the state of the nation and the world today and its penchant to follow a path to addiction. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Selective androgen receptor modulators represent the future of hormone replacement therapy. Institutions looking to perform research depend upon the potency and authenticity of the materials they buy. That's why your institution needs to trust Chemex for their SARMS materials. Go to chemx.net today for SARMS S4 for your research project. Don't trust the success of your project to questionable sources. Trust chemx.net. That's chemx.net. Chemex.net. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com. Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
I just want to remind everybody that Primordial Performance is having their annual summer super sale. Everything is up to 40% off. It's a huge saving. So many people go there and stock up on supplements and supplies to last the year because of the great savings. So check them out. Visit PrimordialPerformance.com. My guest today is Pam Colleen. We're talking about the hidden epidemic in this nation, which is addiction. We don't think of it as addiction. We were talking when we went into the commercial break about the fact that most people get no good results from antidepressants. And I want to say something before we talk about antidepressants, Pam.
Mm-hmm.
If I was sitting in a movie theater watching a funny movie and I was laughing as hard as I could laugh, tears are rolling out of my eyes. Wouldn't it be odd if someone looked at me and said, hey, you should take a pill to keep you from laughing so hard? You know, that would be absurd, right?
Well, you know, so many of the drugs that are being used in particular on our children are also nicknamed to be chemical constraints. you know, so for what may be deemed normal childhood behavior, of course, you know, it becomes too much work for, you know, a teacher who may have 40 kids rather than 25 kids to teach, and it's really just simple to put these kids that are a little bit more energetic on drugs.
And this is a really important point. If you're, you know, I was going through a divorce, and I had a couple good doctor friends of mine suggest that I try an antidepressant, and I said, why? I have a reason to be sad. It would be unnatural if I wasn't sad. Why would I want to take something to suppress a natural emotion?
We're a pill, you know, a pill-popping society, and this was really foreshadowed by Aldous Huxley in his novel Brave New World, where everybody in that particular society was taking a drug called Soma. And he basically saw what was coming in the future with these mood-altering drugs and man's curiosity to you know, try these drugs out. But the problem is that we just have so many things to be addicted to today. And in many cases, they're much more potent than things that would have been around, you know, 70 or 80 years ago. So, you know, this is the danger that we're in right now. And even something as benign as caffeine, Carl, where you're seeing a child in, you know, a Starbucks or, you know, a coffee shop of some sort, and they're downing all this caffeine. Well, you know, when you and I were young, it was unheard of for a child to take in, you know, caffeine of any kind, whether, you know, we didn't have the energy drinks back then, and we certainly wouldn't let a child drink coffee.
Right.
And that's why, because this child's brain is developing. It needs to be, you know, it needs to be drug-free in order to develop properly. And now today, because so many children are drinking caffeinated beverages, there are scientists out there that are concerned about that, because caffeine is known to be a gateway drug. So when they can't get enough of coffee in their teens, what on earth are they going to need when they're in their
20s? The other stimulants they're going to look
exactly.
For. Exactly. Right. And, you know, it's really interesting that you say that, because I remember as a child wanting to taste coffee and my mother telling me, you know, inappropriately, that it would stunt my growth, which it wouldn't. Or we don't know that to be true. But she made something up because she wanted me not to drink it. Now, as parents, we do this all the time. Don't do as I do as I say. But I watched my parents drink coffee, and I thought, well, it didn't kill them. I think I'll drink coffee too. And that's the real issue here, isn't it? Isn't the real issue the fact that we're talking about saving our children, but we can't save our children until we save ourselves, because they follow what we do?
One of the biggest categories of drug addicts today, the biggest category for you know, if you want to add up the numbers, are the middle-class Americans, the moms and dads, and the grandparents, you know, grandma and grandpa. They're the biggest drug addicts today. And that's what people don't realize. And one of the reasons why they've become the drug addicts of today is really because of prescription drugs. And so when, as a parent or grandparent, you're trying to teach your child, you know, healthy life skills, and you're taking a drug to alter your mood, and they know, they see you taking these drugs, and that could be even in the form of coffee, then the child says, well, then I need to do something to alter my mood. And so they're only going to mimic you.
And I know so many people who have children who have grown up in a household where the parents have used prescription drugs. You know, the kids see the amber bottles all over the place. And then as those children mature, a lot earlier than their parents, they start introducing these drugs to themselves as well. Oh, well, you know what? I've got to go to work today. I've got a big presentation. I need a Xanax. I've seen my mom take a Xanax when she's had a real hard day. I'm going to take a Xanax because I'm going to have a hard day. The only difference is mom wasn't introduced to Xanax till she was 40. These kids are starting to take them at 20 now.
Right, and they have the false belief that because it's a prescription drug, even though they're taking it recreationally, because it's a prescription drug, they believe them to be safe. And so a lot of children today are stealing drugs from their parents' medicine cabinets and putting them into, you know, baggies and taking them to school with them. And then they go off to parties, and they have what are known as farm parties, PHARM, farm parties, and they get high. They get buzzed out on their parents' drugs, and they think it's perfectly safe because, again, they're pharmaceutical drugs, so they must be safe.
Right, they must be, right, exactly. Which, you know, you've got a really hard road here ahead of you, because you're working against Big Pharma. You're telling people that they should be careful of these types of drugs, and you've got a commercial every 5 minutes on some television station saying, hey, do you have these symptoms? Then you should be taking these pills. And it's amazing. The net is so broad now. Everybody has these symptoms. Who doesn't have some of these symptoms?
Everyone today is struggling with a bad mood or fatigue or depression or anxiety. And keep in mind, by the way, just so people understand this, is caffeine causes depression and anxiety. So before you start popping any other drugs, you know, you got to consider what caffeine does to the body's biochemistry. And I wanted to finish what I was saying earlier about what's going on in England with regards to the antidepressants, because this is very, very important. What you said earlier is true. For the majority of people taking antidepressants, these drugs are not working. And that's in the scientific literature. We're not making this up. For mild to moderate depression, antidepressants do not work. And the side effects, of course, are unfortunately very, very, debilitating. But for major depression, they may work. And that's fine if people, are obviously struggling with major depression. And if it can help them, great, But again, the side effects can be debilitating.
But I have to inject something. Hold on. We did a show 2 years ago that showed that exercise was more effective than Zoloft in treating major depressive disorder. Why aren't doctors talking about that? That's another good. Finish your statement.
Well, this is where I'm heading, actually. And in England, the doctors know that these drugs are not working. So in England, under their national healthcare system, they're actually writing prescriptions for people to join gyms and go and exercise.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Isn't that great?
Finally, some sensibility. It's like,
yes, it is happening in England. I live in Canada. It should happen here eventually as well, too.
Right. That's, when that starts happening widespread in the United States, where doctors start saying, I'm going to write you a prescription for a gym membership and a personal trainer, your insurance company is going to pay for it. I will rejoice when that happens. And because
it's going to be, look at the cost difference. I mean, for maybe $20, $30, $40 a month versus a drug that's going to make you potentially sicker.
But again, you have big pharma and their pharmaceutical interests working against you.
Well, and that's exactly what, we're up against a David and Goliath story. And so, as soon as the people who are listening to this or people who understand this phenomenon and really object to it, we need to work together at a grassroots level so that we can educate the people that we care about and tell them what's really going on. Because one of the other reasons why I wrote this book is because rates of depression are expected to rise, Carl. And right now, depression is the number one cause of disability in North America. And if that isn't bad enough, it's going to get worse, because by 2020, depression is going to be the second leading cause of disability in the world. And so what does this mean for our children? Because depression is the number one risk factor for developing addiction.
And now let's talk about depression, first of all. We have a perfect storm occurring today that leads to depression. The choice is in nutrition, first and foremost.
Absolutely. So what we've seen coincides with the rise of the edible oil industry. As we've consumed more and more and more of these newfangled fats and oils, that would be things like corn, cotton, canola, and soy, we've seen the rise of that industry over the last 100 years. Those fats, they starve us at the one hand because they're replacing more nutrient-dense fats like butter and lard, but number two, they actually impair the proper functioning of our cell membrane. And we for our cell membranes to function properly, you need certain fats, and I talk about them in my book, things like DHA and arachidonic acid. They're very key for your health, and you are only as healthy as your cell membrane. So, we've got to, be structurally sound at a cell, at a cell membrane level. And those fats are critical. And not just arachidonic acid and DHA, but things like cholesterol are key. Cholesterol is like the glue that keeps your cell membrane together. And what have they done over the last, in particular, 50 years?
They've vilified it.
They've terrified us over cholesterol.
Right. Cholesterol and fat. Isn't it interesting? I was watching a commercial the other day for Subway. And they were touting one of their Subway sandwiches as being a healthy meal. And it was a glazed chicken with no doubt lots of corn syrup in the glaze, a big hunk of bread. And they were saying, and only 4 grams of fat. It's like fat is the devil. No, the bread is the devil. It's the carbs that we did a show just a week or so ago with Dr. Michael Smith from Life Extension Foundation showing that saturated fat is only bad for you in the presence of these high glycemic index carbohydrates. Otherwise, it's not bad for you. It doesn't do any damage to your body.
No. In fact, saturated fats are key to protect your heart and your lungs and like I mentioned earlier, even, you know, your cell membranes. So we have to be, you know, very, very careful because ultimately over the last 50 to 100 years, as we've been reducing our consumption of animal fats, which are your notorious, you know, your saturated fats, you know, we're sicker, fatter, and more depressed than ever. And what we need to be really, really careful about is what's happening with the new guidelines, the new USDA 2010 food guidelines, which are saying rather than eating, you know, a horribly low amount of animal fats at 10%, they're saying, about 10% of our calories, they're saying that we should reduce that 10% and go down to 7%. So not only, you know, are they going, they're just going to make us more physically sick and more depressed.
Well, here's your rise in depression. They're actually going to promote the rise in depression if they keep cutting people's fat back.
Exactly.
But I don't know many people that actually follow the government's guidelines. But the problem I really believe also is hinged to the high consumption of cereals, grains, legumes, corn. Forget about the fact that we don't even know what the GMO part of it is doing to us. We won't know until we have offspring. But all of that stuff, we were never designed. And I get into these debates with vegans. If you want to be a vegetarian because you feel sorry for animals, God bless you. Don't eat animals. But if you think it's the right way to eat, you are really, really wrong. And you can have your eyes opened if you just do some anthropological research and look at what we evolved eating. We did not eat. We didn't forage. As a matter of fact, Pam, you pointed something out. What did you say when we were talking about vegetarians?
Well, here's what we have to do is we have to, what you mentioned earlier, we have to look really far back in our food history to just figure out how we were designed. In other words, let's say you're looking at a 747 jet. You want to find out how that jet was put together. You know, you take it apart one by one. Let's take a look at the human body and see how we evolved. And, you know, when you look at us, we were hunter-gatherers. We were not gatherer-hunters. And we know that, you know, in the most recent history, we couldn't have eaten a lot of plant-based foods because the last ice age ended 12,500 years ago. And right after that, and of course, you know, during an ice age, how on earth are we going to be eating lots of plant-based foods? We couldn't have. And so right after that era, of course, we invented agriculture and we started increasing our consumption of plant-based foods. But it wasn't to the betterment of our human physiology. What scientists have discovered in looking at bones and such is after we invented agriculture, we actually shrunk 6 inches in size. Our brain size shrunk and our age, our lifespan went from 26 years to 19 years. We didn't live very long back then because it was very harsh conditions,
right,
of course.
Right.
But at the same time, Carl, you start to see the rise of anemia, osteoporosis, and infectious diseases.
So there you go. To all those vegetarians out there who believe that a vegan diet is the key to health, it's not. It's absolutely not.
I'm a recovering vegan. I believed it for 9 years.
I was just going to say that most vegans can't sustain life. They don't. They do it for a period of time, 8 years, 9 years, and then the anemia sets in and all the other problems start kicking in.
Oh,
and they're like, I can't do it.
Much sooner. I know a woman who developed anemia, pernicious anemia, and that can be fatal. On a vegan diet, that's when she developed it, and so a year and a half into it, so it only took her a year and a half to realize that she needed to go back to eating animal foods. But you know, there are hidden symptoms that people just don't know about when they remove these animal foods from their diet. Number one, the first symptom people tend to complain about is poor memory. But hidden symptoms include things like infertility.
Right.
You know, low birth weight babies, you know, all sorts of
Well, never
of problems.
Mind that. Have you ever looked at a vegan person? They're pasty and pale. Their muscles are flat. They don't look, you don't look at vegans and go, God, that person looks so healthy. They have a glow about them. I want to look like that. You look at them and you go, gee, that person looks like they need a transfusion. I mean,
right.
I don't care who they are. Every vegan I've ever seen, I've thought that about.
No, I'm doing, you know, hair tissue mineral analysis on people, and I get a lot of recovering vegans and vegetarians who come to me, and I help them restore, you know, a lot of the deficiencies and toxicities that develop while they were on a vegetarian diet. One very common thing that happens with vegetarians is that they become copper toxic, and one of the reasons why is because animal foods are high in zinc, low in copper.
Right.
And so when they're eating too many plant-based foods, unfortunately, the copper ends up building up in their body, and they get this fuzzy feeling in their brains. and really spaced out, you know, brain foggy feeling. And
hey, Pam, we have to take a break. Mm-hmm. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll pick up where we're leaving off here. We're talking today with Pam Colleen. You can learn more about her book by going to addictionthehiddenepidemic.net. It's a great book, 400 pages, and we're going to be talking more about it when we come back.
Products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Are you tired of the same old pre-workout product? Would you like to catapult your body's growth and performance potential to an entirely new level? LG Science's Anadrolic State GT is the world's first kinetic amplification system. Anadrolic State GT goes beyond the pre-workout powders in functionality, adaptation, and power. Anadrolic State GT is the first of its kind, allowing users to take aggressive control in the gym with ferocious focus, explosive energy, and dominating strength. Anadrolic State GT is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet, and other fine retailers. Get yours today and join the LG Sciences uprising.
The federal government is more aggressive than ever prosecuting anabolic steroid-related cases. Whether you're a physician, supplement company, or citizen, ignorance of the law is not a defense. Buying from overseas pharmacies, large numbers of patients on hormone replacement therapy, and releasing new hormone-based supplements can all be red flags to the federal government. Don't take chances. You need attorneys that have years of experience defending anabolic steroid-related cases. You need J. Clark Baird and Bill Butler. Knowledge is power. Know where you stand before the federal government comes knocking. Go to SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. That's SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. Go today and be safer tomorrow.
We all know how effective amino acid supplements are. Well, get ready to be shocked. Amino acid supplements just reached a new level of strength. Say hello to Gear. Gear is super concentrated, super potent, and so bioavailable, it's equivalent to injectable amino acids. Gear is best used between meals to keep nitrogen balances tilted towards anabolism. Gear causes an increase in anabolic signaling that tells your muscles it's time to grow. Get Gear today by visiting needtobuildmuscle.net. Gear, this ain't your daddy's amino acid supplement. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at orbitnutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit orbitnutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. orbitnutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at orbitnutrition.com.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest today is Pam Colleen. She is the author of the book, Addiction, the Hidden Epidemic. And you can learn more about it at addictionthehiddenepidemic.net. Pam, when we went into the break, we were talking briefly about, you know, this whole fallacy about the vegan diet being the answer. And Dr. Lauren Cordain, who has written several good books on the Paleolithic human beings and their diet, you know, he was the first one to point out to me that Paleolithic human beings, you know, really the last generation of human beings that were not marketed to, we weren't part of the agricultural revolution yet, we ate predominantly animal protein and fat. Mm-hmm. And even those paleo humans that lived near the ocean did not consume as much fish as we thought they did. They still ate a lot of animal protein and fat that they found, you know, land animals. And this whole concept that the vegans are building on has been supported by a book called The China Study, which says that all disease is related to the overconsumption of protein. And all, I don't have to even do any research to say that that's flawed, because if you look at anthropology that shows that humans ate meat and animal fat, then they should have all died off. You and I shouldn't be having this conversation. Our civilization should have passed because that's all they ate back then. So if protein killed us, it would have killed them.
Right. Well, yeah, there's so many flaws with that study. It's just a huge piece of propaganda, of course, because, I mean, I had to research Chinese agriculture when I wrote my, when I co-authored my first book, The Great Bird Flu Hoax. And, you know, Chinese agriculture is very specific. You know, they have something called polyculture agriculture. And when you go to China, you'll find out that they have fish ponds, that they have fowl, that they have pigs. You know, they eat quite a bit of animal protein and animal fat. And this is a total myth that they eat a lot of soy products. And
right.
If they do eat soy, of course, it's very small amounts, and it's naturally fermented.
Right.
So, you know, they're the predominant sources of calories are still going to be coming from animal fat and animal protein.
Right. Now, let's talk about other addiction. We kind of focused on caffeine because it's probably the most vile and rampant in society today. But what other things are these young people becoming addicted to?
Well, you know, the thing that concerns me, of course, is the high carbohydrate diet and that they're addicted to carbohydrates. And that really is what sets them on a downhill spiral. Because, you know, remember, these children are developing their bodies and their brains. And then if they start off starving their nervous system, it's going to potentially create a problem for a lifetime. And, you know, this is where they're most vulnerable because, you know, carbohydrates, first of all, are extremely pervasive, but they're also extremely addictive.
Right.
And, you know, even in Dr. Kessling, I think it's Dr. David Kessler, the former head of the FDA, he clearly admits in his book, The End of Overeating, that the food industry knows exactly what they're doing and that they make these foods, in particular the foods that are in the middle aisles of a grocery store, they're developed to be addictive. And, you know, the marketers are targeting children today in droves. And so these poor kids today, unless parents are supervising them properly and you know, very vigilantly, it's very difficult to keep these kids away from these sugary foods in particular.
Let's be clear about something. It's not just sugary foods. It's the cereals, the potatoes, the rice. It's all of that stuff. It's all that high glycemic index carbohydrate stuff that the government has at the bottom of our food pyramid as mm-hmm. we're supposed to be eating the most of every single day.
Exactly.
Corn.
Look at the school food programs. I mean, you know, they're eating pizza for breakfast. And it's very high carbohydrate food.
And you know what? If you don't believe that it's an addiction, you know, people are going to listen to this and go, oh, you know, you're really overreacting. It's not addictive. Oh, no. Look at how obese these kids are. You think those kids want to be obese? They don't want to. I can tell you as a child who was obese up until I was 12 years old, I didn't want to be fat and made fun of. But you know what? I would come home and I would find comfort in eating that food. It made
yeah.
me feel good. And now I know why. Chemically, serotonin levels would rise and I would feel a sense of satiety and I'd feel happy, but it mm-hmm. would last maybe an hour or two. And then I was back at it again,
yeah.
searching for that. And isn't that addiction? A crack addict smokes crack once, gets high, smokes it again, doesn't get as high, has to smoke more. Then after a while, you're constantly chasing it.
Yeah.
Isn't that what these kids are doing? They're chasing that feeling?
Well, especially where carbohydrates are concerned, because of the sugar rush and, you know, the feeling that they get, of course, they end up developing hypoglycemia. And it doesn't get diagnosed because doctors tend to not even look for it. And even if they did look for it, they don't know how to properly diagnose it. And so these poor kids end up with hypoglycemia. And, you know, since the 1920s, they've known through autopsies that when you do, you know, autopsies on the brains of people who have died and had a that were hypoglycemic, you can see that they've actually damaged their brains. They've known it since the 1920s, Carl.
I have believed that diseases like Parkinson's disease, and my listeners know because I've said this numerous times, are associated more with insulin resistance of the brain because
yes.
and it's clear to me that during hypoglycemia, let's look at the extreme. An extreme hypoglycemic episode is called diabetic coma. When somebody is diabetic and they don't have any glucose in their blood, their brain fries out. But if you have these constant little episodes of hypoglycemia, it's just doing little bits of damage at a time. Little bits of damage at
yeah,
a time.
Huge damage. I mean, we're fat burners, not sugar burners. We're supposed to be burning fat. It's a myth that we don't even need carbohydrates or plant-based foods in general. I mean, we really don't need them. There's no essential, you know, intake for them on a daily basis. There's an essential intake for protein, essential intake for fat.
Right.
But there's no essential intake for carbohydrates. So one reason why I believe we should be eating some carbohydrates, of course the healthy ones, is because they have a lot of good antioxidants in there in order to help preserve the fat.
Right. Right. Absolutely. And anybody who doesn't get that should just needs to look at the fact that we can make glucose from protein and fat.
Absolutely.
But we can't make protein from carbohydrates, and we can't, so you the one thing that you don't need to find in your diet is carbohydrates, because the body will manufacture glucose because we've evolved under those conditions. It's probably, you know, now that you pointed it out, it's quite possible that after the first ice age that we genetically evolved to not need carbohydrates any longer because we couldn't find them.
That's right. It was frozen. The ground was frozen. If it thawed out, it might have been a few months of the year at the most.
Yeah. So it's really amazing. All right. So let's talk a little bit more about the book. So your goal with this book is what? To give people solutions or just ring the bell?
Well, there's two things going on. Number one, ring the bell because, you know, mood disorders and addiction are the elephant in the room. People don't want to talk about them. There's shame. There's guilt involved. You know, we can't ignore this problem any longer. And number two, of course, as we address this problem more and more, we need viable, effective solutions, which we don't have. Now, I don't think a lot of people know this, but substance abuse is our number one health problem. It's not cancer, it's not heart disease, it's not diabetes. And substance abuse in the United States, in the U.S., is costing the economy over $500 billion every year.
Now, what kind of substances are we talking about? Just recreational drugs?
Every kind of drug imaginable, everything from, you know, the prescription drugs, OxyContins, or, you know, the painkillers are causing a lot of problems, street drugs, of course, you know, so, you know, and even tobacco and alcohol. So even the legal drugs, you know, need to be considered in this, and even because they're legal doesn't mean they're safe. You know, there's serious problems.
Oh, wait a minute, Pam. Are you suggesting that the FDA would allow us to use something that's not safe? I'm sorry. I had to say that. I know. It is funny, isn't it?
We can't ignore this problem any longer. I mean, we're seeing it more and more on TV. You have, you know, Benjamin Bratt was in that show, show about drug addiction, Nurse Jackie Intervention. We have one show on A&E. I think it's called, you know, Obsessive Compulsive or something along that line.
Right. So OCD. Right.
More and more shows about addiction. But the problem, Carl, that most people don't know about is when people do go for help into a recovery center, their failure rates are hovering around 90%. So
okay.
Let us
take our last break. I want to talk about how traditional recovery works and what you're suggesting needs to be changed. We're talking today with Pam Colleen. Her book, Addiction, The Hidden Epidemic. You can get a copy of it at addictionthehiddenepidemic.net. That's a lot to say. It's a long URL. Addictionthehiddenepidemic.net. We'll be right back. A company committed to truth in advertising, to science-driven product development, a company that still believes in accountability to its customers. All American EFX is that company. With a full line of performance-enhancing aids like Crealkaline EFX Pro, muscle pump amplifiers like Nitric EFX, growth and recovery enhancers like LBA Pro and LG5 Pro, and a fully tested core nutrition series. So if you want the very best in bodybuilding and performance supplements, go to any GNC or visit AAEFX.com today. That's AAEFX.com. All American EFX. We don't play games. We just help you win them. Selective androgen receptor modulators represent the future of hormone replacement therapy. Institutions looking to perform research depend upon the potency and authenticity of the materials they buy. That's why your institution needs to trust Chemex for their SARMS materials. Go to chemx.net today for SARMS S4 for your research project. Don't trust the success of your project to questionable sources. Trust chemx.net. That's chemx.net. Chemex,
CanSeeIdrops.net.
Life is a continuous journey, and Change Your Life Now gives you the tools for continuous empowerment. Change Your Life Now is a practical guide to the biological process of age reversal. It's deliberately understandable and concise, so you can employ its message immediately and begin to realize the changes within days. The reader need only provide a positive attitude, desire, and discipline, and the results are guaranteed. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Change Your Life Now banner ad to learn more or to order your copy today. Don't wait another moment. Change your life now.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wise Choice Medicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Are you tired of the same old pre-workout product? Would you like to catapult your body's growth and performance potential to an entirely new level? LG Science's Anadrolic State GT is the world's first kinetic amplification system. Anadrolic State GT goes beyond the pre-workout powders in functionality, adaptation, and power. Anadrolic State GT is the first of its kind, allowing users to take aggressive control in the gym with ferocious focus, explosive energy, and dominating strength. Anadrolic State GT is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet, and other fine retailers. Get yours today and join the LG Sciences uprising.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest today is Pam Colleen, author of Addiction, The Hidden Epidemic. Pam, I keep giving the website, but people can get this at their local bookstore, right?
Well, I'd appreciate it if people would actually go into their local bookstore and have them order it. And that way, you know, that'll help spread the word as well. Because I ended up self-publishing, of course. The bookstores may not hear about me or know about me, so I'd appreciate some traffic going in there and asking for the book.
And plus, it'll save people some money because they won't have to pay for shipping then, right?
Exactly. It's a far more practical way to go about doing it.
Okay.
And in about 3 or 4 weeks, it should be on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and so on. We're still really at the pre-order stage right now, but in a few weeks you'll be able to order it that way as well.
All right. So, I mean, what are people to do, Pam? I mean, can they save themselves? Are we down the slippery slope already?
Well, you know, they say we've hit our a downfall in our economy, and we're going through a recovery. Isn't it interesting they use the word recovery during this economic downturn? And you know, it's like society's been addicted to spending money for so long, and,
yes,
and now we've had this wake-up call, and we have to recover from it. You know, so the interesting thing is that man has always survived. I mean, we're going through a pretty tough time right now, and we will adapt. That's the good news. We will adapt to this phenomenon, but, you know, unfortunately, lives are going to be lost, not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually as well. I mean, people suffering with substance abuse, I mean, they lose their families, they lose their careers, their hopes, their dreams, and their lives potentially. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of pain and hurt while we're going through this crisis.
What's wrong with the recovery process that 90 plus percent people who go into addiction recovery end up not being helped?
Well, one thing that they haven't looked at is nutritional stress.
This Bingo.
Is one field that has been ignored. And so the good news in my book, of course, is that I've interviewed some, you know, a collection of therapists who are using nutritional methods along with, you know, your traditional psycho-spiritual methods in order to help people recover. And they have about an 80%, Carl, an 80% success rate helping people recover from addictions. And so this is the good news. And the other part of the good news that one of the individuals in my book just announced was that they had a conference in April, this group of therapists, and in the matter of 1 year, Carl, their attendance increased fivefold in 1 year.
Wow.
And so what they have discovered is that people working in the traditional, conventional, you know, recovery centers are starting to open up to looking at nutritional stress and considering these nutritional protocols alongside your very traditional, you know, psycho-spiritual methods. And so this is the good news. I think more and more, you know, these centers are going to have to start introducing these nutritional protocols. And I think we're also going to have to see, because the success rate is going to go up, we're going to see more recovery centers happening. You know, hopefully insurance companies are going to cover for the therapies and so on. And so right now, Carl, a fraction of people abusing substances are getting help. And there's over 23, there's about 23 million addicts in the United States. So you can't imagine, I mean, there's just not enough help out there for these people, and the help that they're getting isn't working.
Isn't it amazing? It's always this way in life. The one thing that you ignore ends up being the thing that ends up saving you. We've ignored nutrition because by and large, we humans are arrogant. We believe that we know better than nature, that we are smarter, that we can save lives, we can create Dolly the sheep in a test tube. So clearly we're superior. And when we decide something is safe, it must be safe. And now look, now it's coming back to haunt us. All of this crap we've been eating for decades has caused a lot of deaths unnecessarily. All the people that died because of the hydrogenated oil being put into the food chain, when Dr. Paul Dudley White, the man who founded the American Heart Association in the 30s, was saying to people, abandon hydrogenated oil, turn back to animal fats, lard and tallow, abandon corn oil, abandon sugar, because this is the reason for the rate in heart attack increase.
Absolutely.
And no one paid attention to him because clearly we know better. And look, and then the FDA, of course, in this day and age, I mean, you said it a minute ago, you know, there's a lot of things that are legal that are dangerous for us. And if the FDA really did what it's supposed to be doing, tobacco wouldn't be out there any longer.
Yeah, but man is always going to seek out drugs. I mean, that's not going to stop. I mean, man has always been curious, so they will always seek out drugs.
But that's not the problem today.
Is that the biochemistry is so weak that not only when we do seek out these drugs, we're more vulnerable, more prone to developing addictions to them. Do you see the difference there, Carl?
I do and I don't. I understand what you're saying, but part of me believes that people need to learn. Maybe it's some sort of spiritual lesson that we need to learn. I don't know. But the constant desire to find that next feeling, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. People brag about being adrenaline junkies and they have to do things to get that feeling of adrenaline. That's no less an addiction than somebody who goes out on the corner and cops a drug and then injects it. The whole process of copping and everything is all part of the addiction.
Absolutely. They're all looking for a dopamine rush.
There you go.
Doesn't matter if it's because they're jumping out of a plane or they're using a drug. It's still physiologically an addiction.
That's right. And now we're starting to understand that nutrition can help these people. Look at the most economically underserved parts of the world. People think you find the highest rates of crime there because these people are animals. I've always believed that the economically underserved parts of the world, including right here in the United States, the rate of violence and aberration there has a lot to do with the fact that these poor people are living on crap food, 99-cent hamburgers and greasy fried chicken and French fries fried in 16 different types of oils.
One really important interview I have in my book is of a woman who's working in the drug courts in California, and she has reduced recidivism rates, basically reduced court costs and, you know, the cost to the whole legal system dramatically because her clients who come to her after they've been released from prison who've had a drug problem, they're put on 3 square meals. They're taught about nutrition. They stay away from the, you know, processed foods and so on. So they actually restore their biochemistry and they start to feel good for the first time in their lives. And they have no desire to go out and do drugs. They have no desire to go out and commit a crime. And so this is another lesson we need to learn from the particular individual I have in my book because, I mean, my goodness, look at how many. In the United States, 80% of the people that are in prison are there because of something to do with substance abuse. And you have two million, over 2 million people in your prison system, and it's totally overcrowded right now. Let's talk about truly rehabilitating these people so that they can think clearly.
Give them a fighting chance.
Get rid of that aggressive behavior.
Right. Give them a fighting chance. Give them a fighting chance.
But when you look at their biochemistry, Carl, you'll find out that they're loaded with heavy metals, terrible blood sugar problems, terrible thyroid adrenal problems. You know, there's something there that needs to be fixed so that they start to make good decisions. And I don't just mean, you know, the criminals out there. I mean people who are just suffering with mood problems. You know, that's basically, those are things you need to consider. You need to consider the blood sugar. You need to consider adrenal, thyroid. You know, you have to consider the proper functioning of the gut. You have to look at heavy metals. You have to look at all of these things in order to try and restore the biochemistry.
I wonder if the rampant rate of divorce is affected by these poor nutritional protocols. People are making all sorts of bad, wild decisions about their lives.
No question about it. No question. And there is probably one spouse who's, you know, depressed, and because the individual is depressed, they take it out on their spouse. So people can't get along. This is why we see so much disharmony in marriages is today, because one partner is probably biochemically a mess and takes it out on the other partner. And so, I mean, I'm oversimplifying a rather complex situation, but, you know, if we were happier and healthier, we would probably have more successful marriages out there.
Well, you have to look at it this way. Anything in life that requires rationale and rational behavior, anything in life, it could be dealing with the clerk at the store when the order didn't go right. It could be, dealing with your mechanic. It could be dealing with your spouse. It could be dealing with your child. Anything that requires rationale. When a person is in a nutritional deficit, they're eating the wrong types of food, they are prone to severe mood swings. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that if you take somebody who's suffering from periods of hyper and hypoglycemia, and they are suffering from severe mood swings as a result of that, and you put them into a situation where they would get better results by being calm, they're not going to be calm. They're going to be frantic. They may result to violence. And it's very clear. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see the correlation between proper nutrition and dealing with situations in our lives in a reasonable manner.
Right. And like you talked about earlier, when you go deep into food history and you see the changes that have been made, not just 10,000 years ago with the advent of agriculture, but in the early 1800s, is when we invented the steel mill. So you see the rise of the flour industry. In the middle 1800s, you see the rise of the cannery or the canning industry. At the end of the 1800s, you start to see, you know, Cracker Jack and Coca-Cola and Pepsi. You see more and more junk foods hitting the market. In and around that time, in the early 1900s, you see hydrogenation, margarines and spreads start to hit the shelves in the grocery store. So when you study the history of our food is when you start to see the correlation there between not just our physical degeneration, but our mental degeneration. And it, like you said, it's not rocket science. This is something easy to figure out. There are people who've written about this who've, you know, got records of it showing, you know, that we ate a lot of meat even in the 1800s. We
right.
ate butter.
And we didn't
we
have
ate,
heart attacks.
You know, raw dairy products.
Right. Right. And we had and we had no heart attacks. No one was dying
exactly.
of a heart attack. So, you know, and there's another issue there too. The quality of food back then was better because factory farming, we're eating sick animals. We're eating animals that are eating unnatural diets, and we're suffering the ramifications of that. But nonetheless, if we look at nutrition, we can really find our bliss finally. If people, and you know what? People vote with their dollars.
Uh-huh.
Don't buy crap food. Don't patronize these companies. They'll either go out of business or they'll get the message and change.
Yeah, and it's got to happen, you know, one mouth at a time.
Right.
One consumer at a time.
Right, right.
I can't go to the government and lobby this idea. Nobody's going to buy it because, you know, these companies don't want their shareholders to be unhappy.
Right, right.
You know,
I'm sorry.
Speaking about that, though, Carl, the pharmaceutical industry, their shares have been going down. So, you know, they're in a bit of a tizzy
Well, you
now.
Know why? Because people like me and you out there are changing the way we handle our doctors. The doctor's saying, I want to put you on this, and we're going, no. We're saying, no, why? Why would you want to put me on that? There's got to be another alternative. More and more people are turning their nose up at pharmaceutical drugs. That's why the pharmaceutical industry is getting ready to start focusing on other countries where people haven't gotten this message yet. We're coming to the end of the interview. People can go to addictionthehiddenepidemic.net to learn more about the book.
Or my website, Carl, too, if you could send people there.
Please.
That would be great.
What is that website?
www.pamkilleen.com, K-I-L-L-E-E-N.
That's what I was going to say. There's two L's in Killeen. Pamkilleen.com. Pam, thanks so much for being on Superhuman Radio today.
Thanks so much, Carl. Keep up the great work.
Okay, thank you. And we'll see everybody tomorrow with another live episode of Superhuman Radio. So tune in then.